Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Hei. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Gladys Resnick Frank, Gela Bashmul Yisrael. We're also learning Le'ilui Nishmas, Mr. Wise. I don't have his first name or his Hebrew name. And also Le'ilui Nishmas, Esther Hammerman, Esther Bas Rav Chaim Yosef. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of the Chayalim in the battle against the wicked Hamas, the Rishoyim, Yimach Shemam, Zichram. They should be successful in everything that they do without any casualties. Those in need of Refuah Shleimah should have one. The Chatufim should be returned in good health, Bimheira, and Be'ezus Hashem, there should be Shalom al Klal Yisrael. Okay. We pick up at the two dots, about six lines down from the top of Tzadi Hei Omer Aleph, and we're going to spend the entire shiur today discussing this aspect of the Mishnah that we're now quoting. And it says, Gozal Paro Meuberes V'yolda V'chule. We had in the Mishnah the case where if a person stole a cow that was already pregnant, or he stole a sheep that was fully laden with wool, so then he has to pay for the animal at the value of the time of the gzeilah. And the Braisa that we're now going to quote discusses three opinions to discuss our Mishnah much more in detail. So the Braisa starts, Tanu Rabbanan. Hagozel Rochel, if you steal a sheep that was laden with wool, ugizoza, and then you go and shear it. So the Ganav took the animal that was already laden with wool and he sheared it. Now, the question will be, what does he pay back to the original owner? And we'll have three opinions here, as we'll see in a second. Next example is, alternatively, if he stole para that was pregnant, violda, and it gave birth while it was in his possession. So again, in the cases that we're discussing right now, it already was a sheep that was laden with wool, or it was a cow that was already pregnant, and the ganav then had taken it while it had the sheep with the wool on it, or the cow that was already pregnant. So Mishalim Osa, so the Ganav has to go and pay for the value of the sheep or the cow. The Ezgizo Seha, he has to go and pay for all of the shearings that he did, the Ezvlado Seha, and for the baby cow that was born. So in this situation, Divri Rav Meir, this is the opinion of Rav Meir, Rashi explains that we give a knas over here. Kol Mashaton Tamimena, not only does the Ganav have to go and pay back the sheep that was laden with wool, let's say it was worth, the sheep's worth $100 and the wool's worth $20, he has to pay back $120, but now the sheep had gained even more wool in the possession of the Ganav, so now the sheep's wool was worth $40. So he has to pay him the entire sheep and wool, which is $140. He gives him back the entire sheep and wool. And likewise, the cow that had given birth. So when it was a pregnant cow, it was worth $100 plus $20, let's say again, keep the numbers the same. And now, after it gave birth, the baby cow is worth $40. So he has to give him back $140. This is a knas, Rashi says. He has to pay him back for the $120 that he stole, plus the additional benefit. Divri Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Now, Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says there is no additional penalty that you have to pay. So Rav Yehuda Omer, Gizela Choseres Be'enel. You have to go and give this thing that you stole. If it's extinct, you have to give that back. So the Hesha, if it's like Zelosh or Gozal, you have to go give back the person, the Ganav, who stole, has to go give back the sheep or the cow to the original owner, and he has to pay him the value of it at the time that he stole it. So it was worth $120. So he has to give him back the cow. Keep things nice and simple. Let's say the cow is worth still $100 after it gave birth. So he has to give him back the cow the $100. Plus, he has to give him $20 for the fact that the cow was pregnant at the time that he stole it. Likewise, if the case is with the sheep. So the sheep was worth $120, $100 for the sheep and $20 for the wool on it. So the goslin has to go and give him back the sheep, which is still worth $100. It's already been shorn. And he has to give him the extra $20 for the value of the sheep. But he doesn't have to give him the extra $20 that the shearings grew further. Well, it was in his possession, and for the fact that the cow gave birth, and it's worth $40 instead of $20. So, review this as you have to give him back exactly what it was worth at the time of the stealing. So, you have to give him back the actual cow and or sheep, extant, that's $100, plus you have to give him $20 more. That's the opinion of Yehuda. There is no additional knas like Rav Meir that you have to pay him the additional $20 in each scenario. And Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Roen Osa Ki'ilu Hishuma, we go and make an evaluation over here and say it is worth a set amount. The Shuma is the evaluation. As Rashi says, you do this Mishas HaGzela. So it was worth $120 in my two scenarios. The sheep laden with wool was $100 plus $20. The cow that was pregnant was, the cow was $100. And the fact that it's pregnant was worth extra $20. So Mishas HaGzela, Mishalim Domim Kishas HaGzela. So all the Ganav has to do is return $120. So we'll see in the Gemara what exactly is the difference. I've already given you a little bit of the answer, the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but they both say basically you have to pay back 120 if the sheep is still extant and the cow is still extant. Even Rabbi Shimon would say you have to go give those things back. So there really is no difference, or the Gemara is going to ask, what is the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Clearly, they're different than Rabbi Meir. Because again, just to put it in nice and simple numbers, Rabbi Meir says you pay back 140, 120 plus the knas of 20. We don't want the ganav to be mashbiach. We don't want the ganav to gain anything. So therefore, the ganav has to pay back the entire value of the cow, which is 140. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both say you only pay back at the time of the gezela, which was 120. So we will explain what the difference is between Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but we clearly understand that they're different than Rabbi Meir. Now, I'm going to spend the first half of this year discussing Rabbi Meir, and then we'll get, towards the end of this year, we'll discuss more of the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So we start off in asking, Boilu, they ask the following Shaila, my time to Rabbi Meir, what's Rabbi Meir's reasoning that you have to pay the 140? There's two possibilities. Do we say, Mishom de Ksavar Shinoi Bimkomo Omid? Do we say that really the fact that he shore the wool, or the fact that the cow gave birth, is irrelevant? It is still considered the owner's possession because the shinui that occurred is not considered to make an acquisition for the ganav. In other words, shinui bimakomo omeid. So therefore, the original owner still owns the additional wool and the baby that was born. And therefore, the reason why the ganav has to return the 140 is because it never belonged to him. It always belonged to the original owner. Any additional wool that grew, the baby coming out of the mother cow, so that belongs to the original owner. The ganav never acquired it with the shinui, and that's why you have to pay back 140. Or do we say no? Odilma bi alma shinui kona. In fact, the mayor holds that the shinui was kona, that when the ganav took it and then he sheared the animal or it gave birth, so then he did acquire it. However, v'hocha knasu de kokonis, this is what I explained before, is a simple understanding, Rameir, and that will be the maskana of Rameir. So that's why I gave you that. But right now we're asking, is that one of the two possibilities for a mayor? That in fact, the shinui was kona, and the ganav acquired it. And the only reason we make him pay the extra 20 is because it's a knas. V'ocha knasu hu de kokonis, and the nafkamina would be, l'may nafkamina, l'hecha de kachasho michash. What happens if it went down in value? In my case, it went up. So everybody would say, whether you hold like version 1 or version 2 of a mayor, that you hold that it never was a kinui by the Kenyan by the ganav, there was no shinui that made the Kenyan, and therefore the whole 140 still belongs to the original owner. Or even if you say it was 120 is all that he has to pay, and the extra 20 is a knas, so that didn't make any difference. Both opinions said it was 140, but the difference would be between the two opinions, lehecha dekachash or mikash, it went down in value. For whatever the reason, it was worth 120 originally, and now it's only worth 100. So according to the version that says, well, it belongs to the original owner, the ganav never acquired it, so then he can give him back the value of the cow or the sheep by just returning the cow or the sheep and saying, here it is. Even though it's only worth 100 right now, he has the right to return it because there's no knas. I gave you back. Vashis exhalish. It goes up. No, it went down in price. That's your problem, not my problem. But if you say no, that he acquired it and it was a knas, so then he couldn't just give him back the value now of 100. He'd have to give him the value back of 100, Vashis exhalish, or gazal, but he'd have to add on 20. He wouldn't have to add on 40 because there's no knas in this situation because he's not benefiting from it. The knas was, we don't want the ganav to benefit. So the nafkamina here would be, where it's now the total value is worth 100 only. So according to the first opinion, that says shinui bimkoma omeid, so then he could give him back the 100 because v'heishas agelah shogazal, I gave you back everything that I stole and it went down in price. That's your problem. On the other hand, if we say no, that the shinui did acquire it, then in fact shinui kona, so then the ganav acquired it. So now he has to pay 120. The fact that it's only worth 100 right now, so he has to give him that 100 back, plus he'll have to add 20. That would be the nafkamina. So the bottom line is, what is Rav Meir's opinion? Does he hold shinui bimkoma omeid, or does he say shinui ba'alma kona? So we'll try to bring a raya from the following Mishnah, which we'll learn in tomorrow's Shia. The Mishnah there is going to tell us, Toshma, gozal behema viskina, if a person stole an animal and the animal got older, which Rashi says this is an example of a hachasha, of a deterioration that occurs in the animal. The animal gets older. So, you know, a 2-year-old animal is not the same as a 10-year-old animal. So gozal behema viskina, and the animal got old in the ganav's possession. Or he stole avadim viskina. The avadim got old. They were strapping young avadim originally, and now they're older. They're not able to do the same amount of work. So in this situation, mishalim bishas exela, he has to pay, according to the Tanakhama, the value what the behema was worth at the time of the theft, or the eved was worth at the time of the theft. So even though they've deteriorated, even though there's a hachasha, the ganav acquired it. The ganav gazal here, the same thing. he acquired the behemoth, he acquired the eved, if he has to pay b'shas gzela. That's the Tanakam's opinion. But here we have, along comes Rav Meir. Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir omer, ba'avodim, in regards to the eved, omer lo, the ganav has the right to say to the owner, harei shelchol lefanecha, I'm returning it to you. Now, here it clearly seems to indicate that Shinoi, in fact, didn't make any change. Shinoi b'mekoma ome. So even though he stole it, but it still belongs to the original owner, based upon the fact that he can go and give him back the eved. But v'ilu behema b'shas hazgela. But in regards to the behema, he has to pay kishas hazgela. He pays the value that the behema was worth, even though it's now worth less because it's older, he has to pay him at the time of the gzela. So this would imply that, in fact, he did acquire it, the almoshina kona. So what's going on over here with Rav Meir? So we can answer this up as follows. If you're telling me that it belongs to the original owner, so then afilu behema nami. So then why, in this situation, does he get to pay the behema b'shas hagzela? He should have to just give back the behema, even though it's worth less. He should be able to just give back the behema and say, hey, here's your behema. So mustn't it be that, in fact, elolav shmamino, kisav Rav Meir shinoi is kona? Aye. Why, in the case of the Eved, did he say, Harei shelchol lefanecha? Rav Meir says, in regards to the Eved, even though the Shinoi was Kone, so why can't he just give back the Eved? So the answer is because an Eved is different. Rav Meir holds that an Eved is like Karkoi. An Eved has the status of Karka, and Karka can't be stolen. So therefore, even if you hold that under normal circumstances, Shinoi is in fact Kone, but that's only for Metaltalin, and it's not for Karka. So, therefore, Rav Meir makes very good sense to say he holds like the second opinion, and that is that Shinoi is Kone, and this case with the wool that he has to give back to 140, or the case with the animal that gave birth, he has to give the 140 back, is because of Knas. Asked and answered, the answer is that he holds Shinoi is Kone, and this was a Knas. Again, just to read it inside, El Alav Shmamino, Ksav Rav Meir Shinoi is Kone, V'hochi Knas Hu Deko Konis. Where says Lav Davka? Amre, we can answer no. Rav Meir is saying no. According to me, I disagree with you. But according to your opinion, Chachamim at least be mode as follows. Rav Meir Ledivreim the Rabbanon Karmelu. He's telling according to you, Tanakama. He's saying, Lidi, the I hold that in fact, Shinu is Eino Kone. And in fact, the Behema and the Eved can be returned exactly the way that they are. And not only the Eved can be returned as it is, but even the Behema can be returned as it is because it never was acquired by the gosling. And therefore, Lididi, Shinoi Eino Kone, V'afilu Behema Nami. So both of them, the Eved and the Behema, could be returned because they never were acquired. That's my Shita, the first version, that in fact, Shinoi B'mekoma Omeid. We don't have a right that it's a Knas. We only have a proof that he holds Shinoi B'mekoma Omeid. But according to you, that you hold Ela Lididhu, you Chachomim, the Amritu Shinoi Kone. You hold that the Shinoi is Kone. At least admit to me, Oduli Mias Biado de Kimikarkoi Domi, that the Eved has the status of being like Karka, and therefore the Karka ain't an exelus. And even though you say that the Shinoi is Kone, but that only would work for Metaltli, and that would not work for Karkoi, such as an Eved. And therefore, you should hold Ba'avodim Hareshel Cholifonecho, as opposed to the Behema is Kishas HaGzela. But the Chacham would answer back, no, we disagree with you. Ramile Rabbana, no. Lo, Abdo Kimetautli Domi. An Eved is sometimes like Karka, and an Eved is sometimes like Metautli. And we hold here, it is like Metautli. And therefore, if we hold, in fact, that Shinoi is Kone, so then it was Kone for everything. And therefore, the din is, like we said, like the Tanakhama said, that Gozal Behema Viskino, Avodim Viskino, Mishalim Kishas Gzela. Since he was Koned, so you have to pay at the time of the Gzela. So we have no Raya from this Mishnah in tomorrow's Shir as to what Rebbe's opinion is. Is it the first version that Shinoi B'mekoma Omeid, or is it the second version, B'almo Shinoi Koned? And now we'll bring a Raya that it's like the second version from the following Mishnah, which we'll learn in a couple of days. It's from Daf Kuf. So the Gemara tells us, Toshma, if a person gave over wool to a wool dyer, Litzboalo, he gave it over to dye it, to color it, Adam, to color it red. But he made a mistake, and he misunderstood, and somehow Litzbo Shachar, and he dyed it black. Or vice versa. He gave it to him to dye it shachar, black, utzvo edom, and instead he dyed it red. Now, he is considered, therefore, like an involuntary ganav. He took this wool, albeit not with a malicious intent, but he made a mistake. But he's considered like a ganav in this situation, and the question is, how much does he have to pay it back? So the Mishnah tells us, Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir says, no sein lo demei tzamro. All he has to do is pay back the wool. So let's again keep it nice and simple. The wool's worth $100 and the shevach is worth $20. The fact that he dyed it, albeit he dyed it the wrong color, so granted the guy that gave him the wool didn't want black, the one who gave him the wool wanted red, but Mistama, there's somebody else out there that will want black. So the dyer is not going to lose his money. So the shevach of the $20 that he put in, he'll be able to go and get it back. So the person who dyed it, he only has to pay the original owner of the wool the $100 that the wool was worth. And he gets to keep the shevach that he dyed it and improved it. So let's say it costs only $5 for dye and it's worth $20 more, so then he'll make $15 profit. He gets to keep that. As the Gemara clearly states, that Demei Tzimro is all he has to pay back. Demei Tzimro in, however, Demei Tzamro Vishiv Chalo, he doesn't have to pay back $120 or only $115 because the $5 that he put in, he wouldn't have to go pay that back. He'd be entitled to get that back. So he doesn't have to give him back the $115, the $120, he only has to give him back the $100. That's Rav Meir's opinion. Now, if you hold like the first version, that shinoi is not kone, so then the entire wool with the dye still belongs to the original owner of the wool. And therefore, Rav Meir should have held demei tzamro the shivcho, boil of mesavle. Hey, the wool is mine. And the fact that you dyed it, that doesn't change the fact that it's mine. So he should get back not only the $100, he should get back the $120. Okay, maybe I'll have to pay him $5 for the dye material, the actual cost of the dye. But he would get back the entire wool, even though he'd asked for black and got red, or he'd asked for red and got black, but he would get be entitled to that. If you hold that shinui is ein kone, like the first version. What do you see from this Mishnah? You clearly see over here, you see clearly that Rav Meir holds that the ganav, in this situation, the inadvertent ganav, the one who dyed it, is actually acquiring it. And therefore, v'hocha knasuhu dekokonis. And in the case where we had with the real ganav, they made a knas. In this case over here, where the guy inadvertently is considered a ganav, he didn't steal the wool, he made a mistake. So he's an inadvertent ganav. And an inadvertent ganav, Rav Meir doesn't give a knas to. Shma mina. But we do clearly see from here that in the case of the real ganav, that the shinoi was kone, but Rav Meir instituted a knas. And we see in a case where there's an inadvertent ganav, like the wool dyer, so then Rav Meir says, we don't make a knas, but we still paskin that the shinoi is kone, and that's why he only has to return demei tzimro in, however, demei tzimro v'shivcho lo. Now, this din that I just taught you, the inadvertent ganav, Rav Meir doesn't have a knas, the Gemara is going to ask in a few moments this exact question. Granted that Rav Meir holds that there's a knas when it's a vadai ganav, does Rav Meir hold that's in an inadvertent ganav, is there a knas? And this Mishnah that we just brought down will be given as the answer that no, Rav Meir does not hold that we give a knas to an inadvertent ganav. But the Gemara is going to ask this question in a moment because it doesn't know yet how we learned this Mishnah. So just keep that in mind, because you're going to say, hey, we answered this already. So the Gemara says, yeah, because we haven't yet learned this in the question, in the shock of attire that we're going to have in a moment. Now, this is the first version to understand Rav Meir's Shita, compared to Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now we have a second version to understand Rav Meir versus Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So, Ika di Amre, there are those that say, Haloi Boilon, this question about Rav Meir, does he hold that Shinui is Kone, or does he hold that Shinui is not Kone, doesn't get off the ground. That's not the question. Based upon Midapich Rav Vitani, because we're going to learn this Mishnah tomorrow, that Rav flips around the opinion of the Tanakhama and this Mishnah that we just learned right now. We had just said that it was the Tanakhama who holds that if you stole the Behema Viskino, you stole the Eve Viskino, Mishalim Kishasek Zela. And it was Rav Meir who said, no, the Avadim are back, given back the way that they are, and only the Behema is Mishasek Zela. That's the version that we had, but Rav flipped it around. In the Gemara, tomorrow Shia, Midapich Rav Vitani, Rav learned the Mishnah as follows. Gozal, it really should be Behema Viskina. Parah could be an example of Behema, but it really is talking about a Behema. So that's why, if you see in Ozayin, he switches around to Behema, because that's the gears of the Mishnah. So Gozal Behema Viskina, not Parah. Gozal Behema Viskina, or Avod Viskinu. So this was the opinion of the Chachamim, the Tanakhama. But here, this is the opinion, the Shalim Mishasek Zela, Divi Ramei. Ramei says that you pay at the time of Zela. Clearly, Rav Meir holds here that the shinoi is kone because you only pay kishas akzela. Divri Rav Meir. Now, the Chachamim Omrim Ba'avodim Omer Lo Haresh Chol Fanecha. The Chachamim are the ones that say, the Eved, he can say, here, it's back to you, because they'll hold like it's Karka. However, in the situation that the Behema, that you pay Kishas Hagzela. Now, when we analyze this, Vadil or Remeir Shinu Kona, as I just pointed out, according to Remeir, clearly Shinu is Kona, because he says you have to pay Kishas Hagzela. If the Eved or the Behema got older, we don't care. You can't just give it back to them, the deteriorated Eved or Behema, because they're older. Mishalim, Kishas Hagzela, you have to pay Kishas Hagzela. So clearly, he holds the Shinu is Kona, and therefore, Vahacha Knasuhu de Kokonisle. So clearly, in our original case, with the sheep that was worth 100, the wool was worth 20, and then it improved another 20, so you have to give him back 120 because of the shinu yiskonis, so you only pay b'shas ha'gzeila, but then we made a knas to pay the additional 20. So clearly there is no machlokas. Remeir clearly holds it's a knas. Now, this was the same result at the end of the first version of understanding Remeir, but here it doesn't have a question. What was Remeir's opinion? Here we state right out, this was Remeir's opinion. Bottom line is, both the first version and the second version have the same conclusion for Remeir. He holds a shinu yiskona, and the additional 20 was a knas. So v'halcha knas u'dekonisle. Now, then what was the question over here? Ki ko iboyalon, the question on Remeir is, hachi is iboyalon, we ask in the base medrash, ki ko konis b'meizit, did Remeir only make the knas when it was a vadei ganav, b'meizit, somebody stole? However, Abu Bishogi Glokonis, but in the case of the dyer, who we call this inadvertent type of a ganav, he didn't really steal it, he made a mistake. In this situation, Remeir did not make a knas, which, by the way, as I just pointed out before, we've already proven that that's his opinion, but the Gemara doesn't know that discussion yet. So when the Gemara asks this question, it yet doesn't know that discussion that we just had, and therefore, the question is, does he hold that there's no knas, or, Dilma, maybe, I feel bishogi, nami kotz. No, maybe made a knas, whether you stole intentionally or inadvertently. Again, we'll come to the conclusion with what we just brought down from the Mishnah, of the dyer from Daf Kuf, so that he'll hold that an inadvertent ganav, like the wool dyer, doesn't have to pay knas. But we'll go first through another attempt to see what the answer is before we get to the final answer, which is the Mishnah on Daf Kuf. Now, Toshma, we try to bring a right from the following brisa. Chamisha, there are five people that are only able to collect their money that's owed to them, min ha-michurorin. Chamisha govin min ha-michurorin. They can only collect from property that the person who owes them has right now, but they can't collect from what we call mishubadim, from leaned properties. And who are these five people? So the first two are as follows. Ve'eluhein, peiros, v'shevach peiros. This is talking about where a person didn't really own a field, and he made improvements in the field, and now there are crops growing in this field, or the field has been improved because if they put up a fence around it or something like that. So now the real owner takes back his field, but the person who is improving the field, or either the peiros that are now in the field, or the shevach of the field, whatever he did to the field, has a right to go and get that money back. So that money can only be gotten back from properties that are extant, but can't be gotten back from leaned properties. And the reason for this, Rashi explains, because when this Gemara is discussed elsewhere, in Dira Masel, Rashi brings down Peros to Shevach Peros, Tanan b'Meseches Gittin, this is Gemara you should hopefully remember a little bit from Gittin, Ein Motzin li'achilas Peros u'l'Shevach karkos min'chosim mishubadim, you can't go collect from lean properties, mipnei tikkun olam, because a person who buys a property from somebody else knows this is a leaned property, and therefore there's a chance that I'm going to end up not being able to keep it. It'll be taken back because it's a leaned property. But he knows that it was worth $1,000. So therefore, the most he would be at would be $1,000. But if you take into account shevach of the field or payros, that could be $10,000. So therefore, nobody would want to ever buy a field that it was leaned because it could be clobbered. He could get clobbered because it's impossible to know how much the peiros would be worth or how much the shevach of the field would be worth. So therefore, these two types of people can only collect from the properties that the guy has himself, but not from lean properties. So that's the first two, peiros or shevach peiros. The next case that you can only collect from mechuroren, from properties that he has extant, and not from his leaned properties, is v'makabel lov lozun ben ishto ubas ishto. If a man marries a woman, and he says, I will go and support the son of your first husband or the daughter of your first husband, your children from your first husband, ben ishto ubas ishto. So again, he only has to support them from his properties. When she goes to collect that, she can only go collect that from his real properties. She can't go to his leaned properties and say, well, this is worth $10,000, $50,000, because the person who bought those leaned properties says, listen, I know what he had outstanding, but we don't know how much the support will be for the children. So therefore, I never took that into consideration. So therefore, you can only collect from properties that he has extant and not from lien properties. That's case number three. Case number four is, and case number five, they're both very similar, the get chov. Now here, the word the get doesn't mean a get like we use it in the vernacular sense. This is the usage of the word get in its literal sense, which means a shtar. And Rashi points that out over here. A get chov means a shtar chov. This is an IOU. She'ein bo achrayis. And they didn't write achrayis into this loan. In other words, this IOU is only allowed to be collected from properties that are extant, but not from lien properties. Now, normally, it's almost the default position that you can collect from lien properties, but it wasn't written into this document. So this will be a case, do we consider the lack of writing it into the document the mistake, and therefore it's as if it's still there, or do we say, no, if it's not there, it's not there. We'll see this in a second. So the get chov, a shtar chov, an IOU, shein bo achrayis, that wasn't written into it, you collect from lien properties. So then, according to this brisa, this is the fourth case of where you're not allowed to collect it, except from the extant properties, you can't collect it from lien properties. And the fifth case is very similar. Uksubas isha. Here's the ksuba of a woman that also wasn't written in Shein Bo Achrayis. And again, this will be a question, isn't it automatic or not? So this ksuba doesn't have written down that you can collect from the leaned properties. So in cases four and five, where it wasn't written down that you can collect from leaned properties, this brisa holds that you cannot go collect it. Now, who is the author of this brisa? Man Shamisley, who is the author that holds the Omer Achrayis, the writing in that you can collect from lien properties, either in an IOU or in a ksuba, lav to sofu, is not considered to be automatically there. And if the sofa left it out, it's the sofa's error, and you still can collect from lien properties. This Man the Omer doesn't hold like that. This Man the Omer says, if you didn't write it in, then it's not there. It's not considered a mistake that you can go and still collect from lien properties. The Achrayis lav to sofer. It's not considered a mistake that the sofer made, and you cannot collect from lien properties. Now, who do we know that holds that opinion? That's Rav Meir. Now, if this is Rabbi Meir, so then what do you see in the first part? It says, uktani peros, v'shevach peros, that you're allowed to go and collect the improvement that the field had in peros, and you're allowed to go and collect the shevach that the field had. So anything that was improved in this field is allowed to be collected from the extant properties. Now, shevach peros hechidame. What is the case of shevach peros? What do we mean over here that the field was improved and that the peros were improved? Isn't it talking about, and here will be the answer to our question, kegon shegazal sodem echavero. Reuven stole the field from Shimon. And Reuven stole it from Shimon, and he then sold it to Levi. Now, Levi has purchased this stolen field. It originally belonged to Shimon. He purchased it from Reuven, the Hishbicha, and Levi went and improved the field. And now, Bahari, he yotza mitachas yodo. Now, Shimon goes to court and gets the field back. He proved in court that Reuven stole it from him, so therefore he gets his field back. And it clearly states that he gets back everything. He got back the field and any improvements in the field. So, Harei hi yotza mitachas yodo. Levi, who had purchased it from Reuven, has to give the entire field back with the improvements to Shimon. Now, he wants to go collect his improvements that he put in. He wants to get back his money that he paid Reuven for the field, thinking that Reuven owned it. He wants to get back his money, but he also wants to get back his improvements. So kishehu gove, when he goes and collects from Reuven the field that he paid for, plus the improvements that he put into the field, and we turn to Tzadihei Omid Beis, gove es hakeren minichos mishubadim. So the principle, the field itself, he can collect not only from Reuven's extant properties, but even from Reuven's lien properties. And the Es HaShevach, however, the Shevach, he can only connect Minichosim Bnei Chorim, he can only collect from extant properties of Reuven. Because the also Baal Ara, Vishakal Are Vishivke, because Shimon had taken everything, the land and the improvements in the land, from Levi without having to compensate Levi at all. Now, what is the case over here? Aren't we talking about my lav even Ba'am Ha'aretz. Aren't we talking about even that the person was an Am Ha'aretz, Levi is an Am Ha'aretz, and doesn't know the Lo Yoda, the Karka Nigzelis, or Eino Nigzelis, he doesn't know the din, the Karka is not able to be stolen, and therefore that Levi didn't really buy a field from Reuven, he really bought a field that belonged to Shimon, and Reuven had no right to go and sell it. So we're dealing with an Am Ha'aretz that doesn't know the Karka can't be stolen, and nevertheless, this is an inadvertent ganav. Levi is inadvertently stealing this field from Shimon via Reuven. And nevertheless, Vilhochi Kosi Baal Karka, the original owner of the land, Shimon, can go and take it, Vishokoli Ara Vishivcha, can take back the land and the improvements in the land. And what do you see from here? Shmamina, that even Bishogeg Nami Kanis, that we see now, the Rav Meir, whose opinion this is, says that yes, you can go and pay the knas, even if you have to pay the knas, even if you're only an inadvertent ganav. A little bit complicated proof. Let's say it one more time. We see over here that Levi is considered an inadvertent ganav. He doesn't know the karka can't be stolen, so he really thinks that Reuven really owns the land. He knows it was stolen, but he thinks, okay, well, Reuven now has purchased this land via stealing it, and I'm able to buy it from him. So he's an inadvertent. Levi is considered an inadvertent ganav. And yet we see that Shimon can take the land and the improvements. In other words, there's a knas. So let us say Rav Meir clearly holds that in inadvertent ganav, we do make a knas. And therefore, our question is answered. Bishogeg nami konis. And it says, no, that's not a good riot. In fact, that's not the way Rav Meir paskins, as we'll see in a moment, and as we've already seen earlier. The Gemara says, no, you can't pass from here that he holds an inadvertent ganav pays a knas, because the Amri Lo, this is not talking about that situation. We're dealing here not with an Am Ha'aretz, Bilokeach Talmud Chacham. We're dealing here with Levi, he's a Talmud Chacham, and he learned the Gemara, and he knows that you can't steal land, and he knows this land was stolen, and therefore he's an active ganav. He is the fence over here that is taking this land that Reuven stole from Shimon, and he's continuing this Geneva. So therefore he is a mazid ganav, and that's why Rav Meir says that Shimon can take everything from him, because we make a knas on Levi because he's an active mazid ganav, not an inadvertent ganav, and therefore this is no raya. What does Rav Meir hold for an inadvertent ganav? And now we finally bring down Toshma, the Mishnah from Daf Kuf that we just mentioned earlier in the shir, the case of the wool dyer. So Reuven goes, give to the wool dyer wool. He gives him $100 worth of wool, and he tells him, I want it, let's boil low autumn. I want you to make me, over here, a red sweater. Make this me red wool. No, he makes a mistake, inadvertently. The wool dyer, Tzvo Shachar, dyes it black, or vice versa. He gave him to him Shachar, Tzvo Edom, he gave it to him the wool and tells him to dye it black, but inadvertently he stole it. It's called stealing over here, inadvertently, when he dyes it the wrong color, and he dyes it, instead of black, he dyes it red. And now Rav Meir Omer, no, saying lo demei tzamro, but only demei tzamro in demei tzamro v'shivcha lo. He only has to pay for the wool. He doesn't have to give him back the entire colored wool, because we don't make a knas on an inadvertent ganav. Now, if you tell me that we do make a knas on an inadvertent ganav, then he should have to give him back the wool that is dyed. He should have to give him back the $115 in my case, the $120 minus the $5 for the cost of the dye. Elo, what do you see? Lav shmamina, like we proved before. This is the good answer. That in fact, Rav Meir only makes a knas in our original case that we discussed from our Mishnah, where the sheep was worth 100 and had 20 of wool on it, and then he shore it when it grew another 20 in his possession. So he has to give back the 120 that the wool was worth, b'shasa gzela, and since he was an active ganav, amazing ganav, so he has to give back a knas of the 20. We don't want the, according to Rav Meir, we don't want the ganav to in any way gain from his Aveira. So therefore, he has to give him back 140. But in the wool dyer case where he inadvertently stole, we don't make a knas. It all he has to do is give back the $100 worth of the wool, and he doesn't have to give him back the additional $15, $20 that the wool appreciated because it now is dyed. Shmamina. This is, in fact, Rav Meir's opinion. And this concludes the discussion of Rav Meir. Now we go back to our original Braisa that we had two opinions, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, that disagreed with the Rav Meir. Rav Meir says you have to pay back the 140. But we had said the Rav Yehuda and the Rav Shimon both say you pay back only b'shas hagzeilu, which would mean the 120. Now, what's the difference between them? Rav Yehuda omer gzeilu chozeres b'ineha, you have to go give back the animal itself. And Rav Shimon omer ronu sokilu hishuma etzlo b'kesef, and therefore you only have to give back the 120 in terms of value. So if the animal is still there, so then there's really no difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. They both say you have to give back the animal. And then, if the animal now is worth only 100, each it would say you have to add on 20. But what's the nafkamina between them? My benayu, there is a big nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon if you're dealing with the following case. And we'll have the machlokas over here, Rav Zvid versus Rav Papa. The first opinion is Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid tells us, I'm Rav Zvid, the difference is between them, the nafkamina between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon is b'shevach sh'al gabei gezela komifligi. The animal was worth 100 originally, the wool on it was worth 20, and then it grew another 20 in the possession of the god of making it worth 140. Now, if he did shear it, so then both Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would say, if it's off the body of the sheep, so then he only has to give him back 120. The original 100, he'll give him back the sheep, and then he has to pay him 20, b'shas hagzeilah. But he gets to keep the other 20. Not like Rav Meir, neither of them said there's a knas. But the nafkamina would be, according to Rav Zvid, if the sheep hadn't been shorn by the ganav, and the sheep now has $40 worth of wool on it, and that sheep is extant. So b'shevach sh'al gabe gizelo kamiflagi, the sheep is worth 140 right now. Rav Yehuda savar, the nigzal havi. Rav Yehuda says, that sheep all belongs back to the original owner, because we don't consider the additional 20 that it grew to be a shinui. And therefore, you give back the heshev hasagzelo ashagaza. You give back the sheep that you stole. Aye, it's worth 140 now. It was only worth 120 at the time of the gzela. Tough luck. Tough luck on you, ganav. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, we make a shuma, you make an evaluation, it's only worth 120. Rabbi Shimon savar the gazlon havi. He says, okay, you might have to give him back the sheep, but you'll get back $20 from the original person that you stole it from, or you'll shear it, and you'll keep $20 worth of the shearing, because you only have to pay him back 120. Even though the animal is extant and you're giving him back the animal, but you don't have to give him back the full 140 that the animal is worth right now. You only have to give him back 120. And that's the nafkamina, according to Rav Zvid, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rav Papa disagrees, says that this is the nafkamina. Rav Papa amar, no. Dekuli amo shevach sh'al gabe gizelo degazon havi. No, what are you talking about? That's a shinoi. And both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon hold that the ganav, or gazlan, is kona with a shinoi. And therefore, they only have to pay back 120, and the fact that it still is, the wool is still on the animal, they don't have to give back 140. Both Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, Rav Papa disagrees with Zvid, both Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon say that that improvement, the extra $20, belongs to the ganav. So what do they argue about? V'hacha, their only argument, Rav Yehuda versus Rav Shimon, in terms of how much of that belongs to the ganav. That extra 20. They're arguing about how do we view the ganav? Do we view the ganav like Rav Yehuda does, Rav Yehuda Savar, Shevach Sh'al Gabe Gizelo Kule the Gazanavi? That entirely belongs, that $20 improvement entirely belongs to the Gazlan, or the ganav. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds, no, it was like there was a sharecropper type of arrangement. There was a partnership arrangement, as if they had arranged between the ganav and the original owner. Rabbi Shimon savar, well, it depends. Lemechza, sometimes he gets 50%, sometimes he gets a shlish, a third, sometimes he gets a revia, a fourth. So, who the shakal gazan? It's whatever the normal arrangements are for such a sharecropping type of arrangement or sharing partnership arrangement, where a person gives over a sheep to the shepherd and says, okay, you take care of my sheep and we'll split the product, the profits that when we eventually sell the wool on the sheep. So sometimes the shepherd will get 50%, sometimes get 33%, sometimes get 25%. That depends on what the local custom is. So lematzel, lishlish, revia, according to Rabbi Shimon, we view it as a partnership type of deal. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, no, the ganav gazlan acquired it entirely and gets the full $20, whereas Rabbi Shimon would say he either gets a half of it or a third of it or a quarter of the $20 improvement. And that is Rav Papa's understanding of the difference between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara says, Tanan, our Mishnah seems to be a problem for Rav Papa, but not a problem for Rav Zvid. Tanan, our Mishnah stated the case, Gozal Pora, if you stole a sheep, then this Abra Etzlo Violda. So you stole a sheep that was not pregnant. That was the second part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah was you stole a sheep that was pregnant. So here, you stole a sheep, and while you, the ganav, took the sheep and took care of it, it got pregnant, or the cow, as we're talking about in this case. The same thing would apply with the sheep, with the wool. So gozal pare, you stole a cow that was not pregnant, then it's abretzlo, and the ganav, then while he had the cow, it got pregnant. The older, and it gave birth. Or it was, he stole the sheep that was shorn already, and then vinit ana, it grew more wool while it was in the possession of the ganav, etzlo, with him, ugzaza, and then he shore it. So now, you're left over here with a sheep that is fully shorn, just like when it was stolen, or you're left with a cow that's no longer pregnant, just like it was not pregnant when you stole it. So, the Mishnah tells us, mishalim kishas hagzela, you pay like the animal was at the time that it was stolen, a non-pregnant cow and a non-laden sheep. So, mishalim kishas hagzela. Now, yolda in, if it gave birth, the ganav gets to keep it. Lo yolda, but the implication is that if it was pregnant but hadn't yet given birth, then in fact, lo yolda, but it was pregnant, hadra be'ina, that he'd have to go give it back pregnant, not like kibshas exela when it was not pregnant. And similarly, with the sheep, if it now was laden and he hadn't yet shorn it, so then he'd have to give it back laden. Now, this works out very well, Bishlam al-Rav Zvid, this works out very well according to the first understanding of the Machlokas, Rav Zvid's understanding to review the Rav Shimon, that he would say, Yama Shevach Sha'al Gabeg Zelo, the Nigzal Havi, that it belongs to the Nigzal, oh, the Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and Rabbi Shimon would say, nah. So this Mishnah, our Mishnah, goes according with Rabbi Yehuda. So Hamani Rabbi Yehuda, that says that you have to return him the pregnant cow, the sheep that is now laden with wool, because the Heshes has Gela Asher Gozal, and this is what it is, so you have to go give it back. That's fine according to Rav Yehuda. And Rav Shimon says no. So our Mishnah goes in accord with Rav Yehuda. But Ella, if you hold like Rapapa, Ella Rapapa, the Gazlan Havi, he says that it belongs to the Gazlan. And the only question is between Rehuda and Shimon is how much of it belongs to the Gazlan? The full amount like Rehuda or like a sharecropper, a partnership agreement according to Rabbi Shimon? So then, Hamani, who's the author of Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Shimon. Neither Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda fits in with the idea of a Mishnah that you have to give him back the fully laden sheep or the now pregnant cow. So our Mishnah seems to be a kasha for Rav Papa, works out very well according to Rav Zvid. But Rav Papa would say, no, not a problem for me. No, he would say that the halacha lemaisa is that even if the animal was still pregnant or it wasn't yet shorn, nevertheless, in that situation, Rav Papa would say, no. This is the exact machlokas between Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Lo yolda nami kishasak zeh lehudim shalom. You paid back the value of it was at the time of the theft, and you wouldn't give him back the now pregnant cow or the now laden sheep because you don't have to give him that. You only have to give him back kishasak zeh. Aye, why did he give us the case in the second part of the Mishnah? Vodiktani yolda. He gave us the case yolda, which implied that lo yolda, or if you didn't share it, then you'd have to give him back the pregnant or fully laden sheep. So then, I did not say reisha yolda, since the reisha gave us the case of yolda, so not some sefer nami yolda. So then the sefer also gave us the case of yolda, but lav davka, that is in fact the implication that you can make from the sefer, the same halakha would be, even if lo yolda. And in fact, this opinion of Rav Papa is supported by Brisa. Tani Kavasi to Rav Papa, that we have a Brisa that says exactly like this. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon would say, Ro no so kiilu hishu metzlo, bekesef lemetzo lishlish revia, that we have the understanding in this Brisa of our Mishnah is exactly like Rav Papa's version of Rabbi Shimon, that you go and give it back as if it was a partnership of 50%, 33%, and a third, or a 25% partnership deal. Okay. Rav Ashi says, when we were learning the base medrash of Rav Kahana, we asked the following shayla. Le Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, the way that Rav Papa understood him, the Amar Lematz of Lashish Revia, who Shakul Gazlan, that the Gazlan gets to take a certain percentage of the additional 20 bucks, Kimis Al Kinale, when you go and give him his money, how does he get his money? So we said it's worth 140. So he gives back the sheep that's now worth 140, but he gets to keep either the 50%, the 33 and the third percent, or the 25% of that sheep. So why do we view this? Do we just give him the money that he's entitled to and get rid of him? Or does he have a right to say, or he wants to take the, let's say it was the case of the brand new baby calf or the sheep with the wool. He wants to take a piece of that. So I'm now a part owner of this calf, or I'm a part owner of the sheep. So how do we paskin? Upashtino mihod amr of Nachman and Mishmuel. And we answer that from that which Rav Nachman said in Mishmuel. What did he say? That there are three people, shlosha, there are three people, shamim remashevach, that we evaluate for them how much the improvement was that they made to the land, and that we pay them off, umal and osam bedamim, and we don't say that they have any right to be a partial shareholder in the land. We just pay them off for the shevach that they did. Who are these three people? Veluhein, Bechor LePasha. If you have a Bechor that's entitled, let's keep it nice and simple, the two children, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is a Bechor, Shimon is not, so they inherit from their father a field, and Reuven gets a double portion, so he'll take two shares of this field, and Shimon gets one share of the field. Now, they go and improve this field. So the improvements in the field, they're not split in a Bechor regular relationship of 2-1. That's split 50-50. Only things that are around at the time of the father's passing are split with the Bechor getting a double portion. Any improvements that come there afterwards, they split 50-50. So the Bechor can say to the Pashut in this situation, listen, the field went up a certain amount of money after dad's death. That you're not entitled to a larger share of the field. The field was still breaking up in a 2-1 ratio. The improvements that went in there, so I have to now pay you back a little bit for the improvement because I got 2/3 of those improvements. You only got 1/3 of those improvements, and I'm not entitled to 2/3 of those improvements. I'm only entitled to 50%, so I have the right to pay you off in cash. You can't demand that you want a larger share of the field. That's number one, Bechor LePashut. Number two is the Baal Chov LeLokeach, the Baal Chov that went and collected a leaned field from the Lokeach, so the Lokeach can say, listen, you only owe me a certain amount of money, and the rest is still in the field. So instead of me taking back money from you, I want to still own a share in the field. So the Baal Chov has the right to say, no, you're taking the money, and I'm taking the entire field. That's number two. Or Baal Chov Li Yisomim. Similarly, the Baal Chov who took a field from the estate, because the father owed him money and the field was lien, so he has the right to tell the Yisomim, listen, even though you want to get part of this field back, I'm not giving you part of the field back, I'm keeping the whole field, and the extra money that I'm owed from the lien field that is above and beyond the lien that I have, so then I'm going to give you back that as cash. You can't claim that you want a certain percentage of the field. So therefore, in all three of these cases, and Tosus points out that it's not Dafka, these three, we said Shlosha Shumin, but Tosos in Dibur Masu, Shlosha Shumin says, Afa gav diktani gimel, even though it said three, ton of Vishir. There are other cases over here. For example, Gazlan, our case of the Gazlan, Vishir Nami Oris, the case would be the same with an Oris, that you can go and just give him cash and he can't demand that he owns a certain percentage of the field. So therefore, the way Tosis understands it is that this is a raya from these Shlosha, Shaman, Lem Shebach, so too, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can go and force the Goslin to just take cash. He can't demand a share of the cow or a share of the sheep. Now, others disagree with Tosus. They don't say that it's Tanav Ishir. They say for the fact that it's these three and only these three, and therefore the Ganav, in fact, could state, I now own a share in the sheep or in the cow, in the calf that was born, and you can't just pay me off with money. I have a right to have a share of that if I want it. Mark continues and says, Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Ravina says to Ravashi, Mi Omar Shmuel, did Shmuel really say, Baal Chov Lokeach Yoav Lev Shavach? This statement we just brought down, Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel, who said the three things. One of them was that the Baal Chov is allowed to tell the Lokeach, I'm taking the item, but I will pay you for the Shavach. Is that really true, that he has to compensate him? For Omar Shmuel, Shmuel says, elsewhere, Baal Chov Goves HaShavach, that the Baal Chov is just allowed to go and take the entire amount that was taken, that was leaned to him, that was owed to him, and in fact, he doesn't have to pay for the Shavach. So he seems to have a steer. Shmuel, one place says that he has to pay for the Shavach, the other place says he doesn't have to even pay for the Shavach. So Amalelo Kasha, so Ravashi says back, no, it's not a Kasha. Why is that? Because Kan B'Shevach HaMagiel L'Seifayim, V'Kan B'Shevach She'ein Magiel L'Seifayim. What we're dealing here is how much the Shevach, let's say the fruits or the grains that are being produced from this ground, how mature they are. Now Rashi seems to understand the Dibur Masko, HaMagiel L'Seifayim, the last Rashi says, Kigon Tvua, for example, grain, wheat, She'godlo Kol Tzarcha, it was totally mature, and nosna lelokeach odemea. In that situation, since it's no longer considered, so to say, part of the ground, even though it hasn't been reaped, omed ligzos kigazos domi, so it's considered that it's already not attached to the ground, because Rashi seems to say it doesn't need the ground at all. That's why you have to compensate the lokeach for it. But in a situation where it isn't yet that level of maturity, so it needs the ground, so Rashi says, in that situation, Shmuel would hold that you don't have to go and give the compensation. Tosus doesn't like this pshat of Rashi. In the bottom Tosus, he says, "Kampir shekuntrus kegontua shegod lekol tzarcha fshein magiel ksefayim shetzrich lekarka." As I just said, either it doesn't need the ground, it's totally mature already, or it does need the ground. Those are the two definitions. Tosus doesn't like this. He says it's no good for a number of reasons, and therefore Tosus concludes on the second bottom line of the Tosus, the Yishlomar, the Shevach HaMagil Tsefayim. Tosus explains that when it says Shevach HaMagil Tsefayim, it's talking about Kori Dover Shesofo Litlosh, something that needs the ground still, but will eventually not be needing the ground, will eventually be cut. Velisa b'seifayim means afilu kegon pagim oboser, and this would include even immature stages of the fruit. The tzrich la'arid, that they need the ground. The Rabbeinu Tanis mefarish the shevach abigil seifayim kegon dover abor b'torach. He says it's something that it's difficult. It required a lot of work, and that's his definition. In any event, however you want to define shevach shemagil seifayim l'shevach shemagil seifayim, that's the difference between the two statements of Shmuel. That's what Rav Ashi told Ravina, but Ravina doesn't like this. Omele, Ravina says back to Rav Ashi, for Maizim B'chol Yom, we see that every day the litigants would come to Shmuel's Beis Din, for Komag Be Shmuel, and Shmuel would go and allow them to go and take the entire land, including the Shevach, even when the Shevach was, or Komag Be Shmuel, he allowed them to go and collect it, Afilu Shevach HaMegilich Sifayim. He didn't make them pay for it, even if it was in this category, however you want to define it, like Rashi, or like the different opinions in Tosos, that it was Megiel and Sefayim. And therefore, according to the way Rav Ashi just explained it, he shouldn't have allowed that. No, what does Rav Ashi say to that? So Amalei, Rav Ashi respond back to Ravin. He says, Lokasha, no, that's not a problem. Return to Tzadi Vava Mar Aleph. It all depends on how much money was actually owned. In a situation, Ha Demasik Be Kishir Ara the Shivcha, if the person was owned, he was going to collect this field, and he was actually owned the entire amount, the field itself, plus the Shevach that was put in, then he's allowed to just take it. And the person who he's taking from will have to go and get back his money from the one who he had purchased it from. However, but if the amount that he was owed was the exact amount of the field, and the Shevach then would be a surplus for him, then he has to pay for the Shevach. So that's what Rav Ashi says. Ravina still doesn't like this. Omalei, Ravina says back to Rav Ashi, that works out great if you hold a certain way. That works out only according to the opinion that says that the one who is having his property taken away because it was a lien on it, so he could not go and say, listen, I'd like to keep the property, I'll pay you cash, and I'll give you money. So that only works out well, this explanation that you just gave us, Ravashi, only works out if the one who has the field in his possession right now and doesn't want to give the field back, wants to give back cash, he's not allowed to do that. Only according to that man diomar does your teretz work, because he doesn't have the right to push him off. Then shapir, okay, your teretz works out great. What about the other man diomar? El man diomar, the one that says that person who has the land right now, who that land is lien property, is being taken from him, if he wishes to, he can say, no, I'd like this land. Here, you're owed $100. Here, Motzi Masalik, Leila Bachov, here's your $100. And say goodbye to this land. I get to keep this land. So he should be able to say to him, listen, Lay Malay, you should be able to say to him, listen, I don't have cash right now, but the additional Shevach that I put into the field, use that as cash and give me a share in the field. If I had the money, I could actually tell you, I'm keeping the field and I'm giving you the money. I don't have the money. But therefore, Hashta, even though I don't have the money, Havli Griva the Ara Shir Shivchai. At least let me own a share, a portion, a third, a fifth, an eighth, whatever it is that the improvement was, is a percentage of the field, since you're only entitled to a certain amount of money. So then instead of giving me cash and you keeping the entire field, no, you take 7/8 of the field and I'll take the 1/8 of the field. That's the equivalent of my improvement. So according to that, Ravina says, Ravashi, your answer doesn't make sense. So Ravashi says, no, my answer still makes sense. Omalei, hold my skin. You know what we're dealing with over here? You're going to Shab Yonir Le Apotiki. Apotiki means apote card. From here, this field, you'll be able to collect. So when the original transaction put this field into a lien, the answer was that this field will be the only way that you'll be able to get back your money if I don't have it. And therefore, This is an apotiki, and the dinim of an apotiki are different. And therefore, kigon the shav yiniyali apotiki, the omalei, the person can say, listen, lo yeh lecho piro, no means yet. When they made their original deal and said that this would be the lien field, he said, this is the only way you'll get your payment paid, and therefore, he has the right to get the entire field, and therefore, even according to Man the Omer, it says, normally, you can pay cash instead of having to give back the field. In this situation, you wouldn't be able to do that. It's a long share, so we'll stop over here, and Yitzhak Hashem, everybody should have a wonderful day.